Level 3, Tom's level. Between his command of the tax law and his understanding of both the goals and challenges of entrepreneurs, it isn't surprising that Kim and I believe we've found the perfect partner in Tom related to taxes and wealth strategies. Here's a tax strategist's explanation of the process. Tax lessons from Tom. Accounting for the Porsche. What Robert describes very simply is precisely what happened when he first acquired the warehouse and then acquired the Porsche. Here are the accounting entries I would use to show the steps of this transaction and the fact that Robert's net worth went up by $1,100 in the first month of owning the Porsche. He started with $50,000 of cash and a $50,000 net worth. After 1 month of owning the Porsche, his net worth was $51,100. Follow me through these steps. Step 1. Purchase the warehouse. Robert paid $50,000 cash for the down payment on the $250,000 warehouse, leaving a mortgage of $200,000. Step 2. Monthly net income from the warehouse. Robert had a $1,200 monthly mortgage payment and $500 in monthly expenses. This was offset by a monthly net income from the warehouse of $2,700, leaving him with $1,000 in positive cash flow left over. Step 3. Purchase the Porsche. Robert spent $50,000 on a car loan, recorded as a liability. The $50,000 Porsche was then added to his asset column. Step 4. Pay monthly car loan. Robert had a $1,000 monthly car loan payment, which was covered by the $1,000 positive cash flow that came out of the warehouse. Again, if you do not fully understand this explanation, discuss these levels with a friend or find a person like Tom and have them explain the process to you. Real teachers, real lessons. The students loved this real-life example. One by one, students would stand and walk through the thought process, explaining to the group how buying a Porsche made me richer, not poorer. As the students took turns going through the process, Tom and I could see the change. We could see it in their eyes as the lights were going on. By the end of the 2-day seminar, students understood why a financial statement was important for anyone who wanted to have a Porsche make them richer. Many realized they could not use their banker's money if their financial statement, their real-life report card when they left school, was not impeccable. Tom and I did not have to cajole, threaten, harangue, or even encourage them to learn more. Most, although not all, wanted to learn more. Many went over the stack of Rich Dad Advisor books we had stacked on a table nearby, and I encouraged them to read the ones that interested them. The books were free. All Tom and I asked was that they pay it forward, passing on what they learned when they went into the African township to teach the cash flow game to other students. It was Tom who said, "The smarter you are, the smarter your African friends will be. Pay it forward." Lifelong learning. For millions of people, their education ends when they leave school. For many people, traditional education kills their spirit of learning. This is a socioeconomic tragedy. If not for my rich dad, I would have been one of those people. Inspiring me to become an entrepreneur, not for money, but for personal freedom, he taught me that learning to sell was my entry into the B quadrant, and taking a 3-day real estate course was my entry into the I quadrant. The love of learning and lifelong education are essential for success in the B and I quadrants. Today, Kim, my advisors, and I get together twice a year to study great books written by great teachers. The world is moving way too fast for us to stand still. For most people, their education ends when they leave school. That is the primary reason why the gap between the rich, the poor, and the middle class grows wider. Part 4, Summary. There are few things in life that are as powerful as doing the real thing. Some call it experiential learning. And it's at the very top of the cone of learning as the most effective way to retain what we learn. If you review the cone of learning again, I think you can better understand what happened during those 2 days in Grahamstown. After 2 weeks, we tend to remember 90% of what we say and do, doing the real thing, simulating the real experience, or doing a dramatic presentation. And we tend to remember 70% of what we say, giving a talk or participating in a discussion. Both of these can be considered active forms of learning. We remember much less of those things we learn passively. We tend to remember 50% of what we hear and see, watching a demonstration, looking at an exhibit, or watching a movie. We remember 30% of what we see, looking at pictures, 20% of what we hear, hearing words such as at a lecture, and only 10% of what we read. When the students played the cash flow game 3 times for an hour each time, they were at level 2, simulation. When they explained my Porsche challenge, they were explaining the real thing. Once they understood the power of real financial education, the power of the Porsche and the ability to live the life of their dreams and teach others, they were more interested in the bottom level of the cone of learning, reading. Many were more willing to read and attend more classes of real financial education. I know the cone of learning process works because it illustrates the same learning process my rich dad used to teach his son and me. When we were 9 years old, we played Monopoly, worked in Rich Dad's office, and went to visit his real greenhouses. Houses that would one day become a big red hotel. As I've written about in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Rich Dad's refusal to pay us forced me to think like an entrepreneur and start my comic book business at the age of 9. As the cone of learning shows us, nothing is better than doing the real thing. At the age of 9, my comic books were putting money in my pocket without me working, and I had learned the difference between an asset and a liability. Those simple lessons have made all the difference in my life. Today, Kim and I are real entrepreneurs. We do not work for money. We create assets, create jobs, and play Monopoly in real life. And we partner with the government, doing what the government wants done, and in exchange, the government gives us tax incentives to be good partners. Most importantly, we surround ourselves with great friends and advisors. We know business, investing, and life are team sports. After achieving financial freedom in 1994, Kim and I created the Cash Flow board game in 1996. In 1997, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was published. All we were doing was paying it forward and supporting the mission of the Rich Dad Company to elevate the financial well-being of humanity. This book, Why the Rich Are Getting Richer, is really Rich Dad Graduate School. Its release in 2017 celebrates the 20th anniversary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Kim and I thank all the people all over the world who are playing the cash flow game, reading, teaching, sharing, and paying it forward. As Margaret Mead once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Final words. Poor Dad. Give a man a fish. Rich Dad. Teach a man to fish. Obviously, our current education system is obsolete. It was designed for the industrial age. The good news is that we are in the information age, an age with greater opportunity for more people. While it is true that technology is taking away jobs from traditional employees, it is also creating very rich entrepreneurs who are creative, ambitious, cooperative, and invest in real financial education. In the next 20 years, it will be the tech-savvy entrepreneurs who will change the world, not our schools, government bureaucrats, corporate executives, or politicians. The biggest mistake most people make is that they believe the next 20 years will be like the past 20 years. Many believe we will soon get through this rough patch in the economy and everything will be okay again. Like it or not, we are going through the most dramatic change in human history. The cliché's tectonic plates are moving and our tomorrows will not be our yesterdays are words of wisdom worth heeding. The question is, will our current educational system change with our evolution, or will it lead us to our extinction? Education is more important than ever before, but the pressing question is, what kind of education? Without real financial education, it is understandable why millions of honest people become tax cheats, doing dishonest deeds and hoping to make a few bucks under the table without paying taxes. That is tax evasion, and it is a criminal act. Without real financial education, most people do not know the difference between tax evasion, which is illegal, and tax avoidance, which is legal. Without real financial education, it is understandable why many people believe the best way to pay less taxes is to work less or not work at all. Without real financial education, most people do not realize the Federal Reserve Bank and the U.S. Tax Department are related, created in the same year, 1913. Without real financial education, it is understandable why people believe in taxing the rich as a solution to their personal financial problems. Without real financial education, it is easy to understand why so many people lie to cover the mistakes they make, rather than be truthful and learn from their mistakes. Millions of people would rather lie about their personal financial condition than admit they know little about money and then seek help. Without a real financial statement or financial literacy, most people do not really know how threatening their financial challenges are. At a time when truth and transparency are critical, our schools teach students that mistakes mean you are stupid, and in business, mistakes can mean you're fired. We have become a dysfunctional culture where lying is the best solution for self-preservation. Since the lack of real financial education is the real problem, then it follows real financial education is the way out. In closing, the most important question for you to consider is, what do you really want, really? Do you want job security or financial freedom? The answer to that question will determine the type of education that is best for you. The best words of wisdom for this period of human evolution, in my opinion, come from F. Scott Fitzgerald. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Thank you for listening to this book. Robert Kiyosaki. Afterword. So, how do we change the world? Rich Dad often said, if you want to change the world, start by changing yourself. Whenever I was complaining or whining about something, he would have me repeat to myself, for things to change, first I must change. He wanted me to think about how I could change. I would report back to him when I had new ideas. I was always surprised how things changed once I made changes. A message to millennials. The baby boomers have had a very easy life. They are not your best financial advisors. More than half of all baby boomers will retire in poverty. It's likely many will live with their kids and grandkids. You have two choices. Either the government will take care of you, or you can take care of yourself. You can fish or be given fish. The choice is yours. What Americans really want, really. Poor Dad, I want a safe, secure job. Rich Dad, I want my freedom. Dr. Frank Luntz is one of America's most respected communications professionals. He is best known as a pollster, often seen on television measuring the mood of the American people. Frank is the winner of the Washington Post's Crystal Ball Award because he can see what is going on in the hearts and minds of the American people. Frank and I met in the green room of CNBC, the global financial television network, as we waited our turn to go on air. Frank has become a personal friend and a regular guest on the Rich Dad radio show. When Frank's book, What Americans Really Want, Really, 2009, was published, I ran out to get the book and read it. His work and research is essential for anyone doing business in America. You may notice I borrowed a few of Frank's words for the subtitle of this book. In What Americans Really Want, Really, Frank reports on a landmark survey he conducted in 2008 for the Kauffman Foundation, the leading entrepreneurial think tank in America. Dr. Luntz's survey found, "It's hard to tell which has become a stronger emotion, respect for entrepreneurs or hatred towards CEOs." He goes into greater depth why Americans hate corporate CEOs. In his survey, he asked everyday people, if you had to choose, would you prefer to be 80% the owner of a successful small business you started that employs 100 people, 14% the CEO of a Fortune 500 company that employs more than 10,000 people, 6% don't know, refused. The answers to that question clearly revealed what Americans prefer. Building something from scratch now is held in higher esteem than rising to the top of the corporate ladder. In other words, what Americans really want, by an overwhelming margin, is to be entrepreneurs. The problem is our educational system continues to train people to be employees, which is why the mantra, "go to school to get a job," is out of touch with what people really want. Forget business schools. Dr. Luntz has this to say about business schools. So, how to equip a generation of Americans for success in entrepreneurship? Forget about MBAs. Most business schools teach you how to be successful in a big corporation rather than how to start your own company. MBA programs train students to be employees, not entrepreneurs. The skills and mindset of entrepreneurs are on the opposite side of the coin from corporate executives, employees with MBAs who need a steady paycheck, benefits, and paid vacations. The problem is the educational system. A bigger problem is our existing educational system. The primary reason most people do not become entrepreneurs is because they lack any financial education. Most people live lives controlled by the size of their paycheck. Without real financial education, many of our highly educated corporate executives have become hell-bent on getting rich by being greedy, ruthless, hard, and insensitive. Dr. Luntz's survey finds a growing distrust of our highly educated leaders, both public and private, which is why the American public is realizing they need to become entrepreneurs, not employees. Simply put, many Americans no longer trust our schools, our government leaders, our politicians, and our corporate business leaders. This trend has influenced the rise of an entrepreneur like President Donald Trump, a president that does not need a paycheck. What Americans really want, really. In his survey for the Kauffman Foundation, Dr. Luntz found what Americans really want from education really is. 81% want universities and high schools to actively develop entrepreneurial skills in students. 77% want state and federal governments to encourage entrepreneurs. 70% believe the success and the health of the economy depend on teaching people to be entrepreneurs, not employees. Will the educational system change? That seems to be the million-dollar question. Question: can the American educational system deliver the entrepreneurial education the American people want? Answer: no, not for years. The two industries most resistant to change are construction and education. These two industries have a 50-year lag time. That means it takes 50 years for these industries to adopt new ideas, philosophies, or technologies. Compare the 50-year lag time to the lag time in the technology industry, where change occurs every 1.5 years. Also worth noting is that education and construction industries are highly unionized, an employee culture that is resistant to any change. Question: why are so many people afraid of becoming entrepreneurs? Answer: The failure rate for entrepreneurs is extremely high. 9 out of 10 will fail in the first 5 years. And 9 out of the 10 that do survive the first 5 years will fail in the second 5 years. That means after 10 years, only 1 entrepreneur out of 100 will be left standing. Question. So what do entrepreneurs need, really? Answer. Entrepreneurs need real financial education if they have any hope of surviving the entrepreneurial process. A Tale of Two Teachers. The story of Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a tale of teachers. One, a highly educated employee, and the other, an extremely wealthy entrepreneur without a formal education. The basic difference between an employee and an entrepreneur is financial education. The other side of the coin. Academic education is the polar opposite of financial education. They are on opposite sides of the same coin. For schools to teach true entrepreneurship, a completely different school would have to be developed. For example, rather than teach students not to make mistakes, a school for entrepreneurs would teach entrepreneurs how to intentionally make mistakes, as Thomas Edison did, and then learn from their mistakes. The U.S. Business Academy. The United States could lead the world in entrepreneurial education if it created the U.S. Business Academy for Entrepreneurs. The United States has 5 outstanding military academies, training grounds for the finest military leaders in the world. They are the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York, the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland, the U.S. Air Force Academy at Colorado Springs, Colorado, the U.S. Coast Guard Academy at New London, Connecticut, and my alma mater, the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, New York. These academies train the military's finest officers and future leaders of America. An example of great leadership is Dwight D. Eisenhower, a West Point graduate, a 5-star general, and, in my opinion, the last great president of the United States. I personally respect him for his leadership in war and in peace. I propose that the U.S. government create the United States Business Academy for Entrepreneurs, possibly in New York City or Silicon Valley. The United States would then train our country's best and brightest to be entrepreneurial business leaders of the future. The difference between traditional MBA programs and military academy programs is best defined by what is known as the BI triangle. Traditional schools focus on training students to fill the roles inside the BI triangle: product, legal, systems, communications, and cash flow. Military schools focus on the 3 elements that shape the BI triangle: first, mission, then team and teamwork, and then leadership. On my very first day at Kings Point, the first assignment was to memorize the mission of the United States Merchant Marine Academy. By the end of the first day, we were learning how to lead as well as follow. Never during the 6 months I spent in an MBA program was the word mission ever mentioned, much less discussed. The word most repeated was money. Mission is a spiritual word, a word of love, the reason for starting a business. Money is primal, a word of fear. Self-defense. In the meantime, for people like you and me, financial education is a form of personal self-defense in a world run by greed, corruption, ignorance, and incompetence. Financial education is like taking a karate course, personal protection against being mugged by people we are supposed to trust. The following is an overview of what financial education is, really. What is financial education? 1. Attitude. Attitude is at least 80% of financial education. My poor dad always said, "I'm not interested in money." How could he learn about money if he was not interested in money? He often said, "I can't afford it." It is easier to say I can't afford it than to figure out how to afford something. He believed the government should take care of him. America is going bust as millions of Americans share my poor dad's attitude about personal financial responsibility, And finally, his attitude was that the rich are greedy. 2. Choose your teachers wisely. When we go to school as kids, we have very little control over who our teachers are. As adults, I encourage you to take the time to really know the people who are teaching you about money. Unfortunately, most financial advisors are salespeople, not rich people. And the only thing they teach you is how to turn your money over to them. Your most important asset is your mind. So be careful and choose wisely regarding who puts information in your head. 3. Learn the language of money. Learning to be rich is not much different than learning another language. When I took my 3-day real estate course years ago, I was learning to speak the language of real estate. Words like cap rate, net operating income, and discounted cash flow. Today, I make millions every year speaking real estate. When I trade options, I speak the language of options, using words like calls, puts, straddles, and leaps. The best thing about the language of money is that words are free. A giant reason why the gap between rich, poor, and middle class grows wider is because there are 3 types of income. 1, earned. 2, portfolio. 3, passive. One reason the gap grows wider is because schools teach students to work, save, and invest for earned income. The rich work for portfolio and passive income. 4. What do you want to be when you grow up? Consider the cash flow quadrant once again. Poor dad is an E, rich dad is an I. The gap grows because most parents and schools encourage students to live life in the E quadrant. The richest and most powerful people live life in the I quadrant. It takes financial education to live in the I quadrant. 5. Taxes make the rich richer. Those in the I quadrant pay the least in taxes because it is the people in the I quadrant who make the rules. Tax percentages paid per quadrant. Those in the S quadrant pay 60%. Those in the E quadrant pay 40%. Those in the B quadrant pay 20%. And those in the I quadrant pay 0%. Tax laws are fair. Everyone is allowed to use the tax rules of the I quadrant. Unfortunately, without financial education, very few people will. 6. Debt is money. For the poor, debt comes in the form of expenses. For the middle class, debt comes in the form of liabilities. For the rich, debt comes in the form of assets. There is good debt and bad debt. The rich use good debt to acquire assets. The poor use credit cards to pay expenses. And the middle class uses debt to acquire liabilities like houses, cars, and student loans. 7. Your report card. Your banker never asks you for your academic report card. Your banker does not care what school you went to. Your banker wants to see your financial statement, your report card when you leave school. When someone says, "My banker will not loan me any money," the reason is because that person does not have a strong financial statement. If the entrepreneur has 3 years of strong, audited financial statements, the banker is anxious to give the entrepreneur all the money he or she wants. If a person does not have strong financial statements, the banker is happy to offer that person a credit card. 8. The cone of learning. When it comes to Edgar Dale's cone of learning, the focus for Rich Dad was very different than the focus my poor dad had. Rich Dad focused on doing the real thing, an active form of learning that was easiest to remember. Poor Dad, on the other hand, focused on reading, a passive form of learning that results in the lowest retention of knowledge. Academic education is on the opposite side of the coin from the way humans really learn, really. 20 years ago, in 1997, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was published, and the Rich Dad Company was formed. The company was founded to teach the world financial education the same way my rich dad taught his son and me. Rich Dad taught his son and me by 1. Playing games, simulations, making mistakes, and learning from our mistakes using play money. Playing games requires physical intelligence, the primary way humans learn. 2. Doing the real thing, working as apprentices in his office and visiting his green houses, then witnessing him buy his red hotel 10 years later. 3. Using simple pictures, diagrams of financial statements, the cash flow quadrant, and the BI triangle. 4. Participating in discussion, teaching us to cooperate, respecting the opinions and wisdom of others, and not needing to be the smartest person on the team, because business is a team sport. In school, participating in a discussion and asking for help is cheating. Although I was an average student all through school, today I make much more money than my smart classmates who went on to be doctors, airline pilots, and attorneys. Classmates who were taught in school that cooperating is cheating. 5. Inspired learning. My rich dad did not give his son and me answers. Instead, he inspired us to learn and find our own answers. Today, I spend a lot of time at the bottom of the cone of learning, reading books and attending lectures. The difference is that I am studying because I want to learn, not because I need to pass a test. Why the gap will widen. Unfortunately, the gap between the rich and everyone else will only grow wider. Many of today's haves will become tomorrow's have-nots. All a person needs to do is be aware of the accelerating acceleration of technology. To remain competitive, businesses are replacing humans with robots. That is why the fairy tale that begins with go to school to get a job is just that, a fairy tale. Rather than job security, people need to focus on financial security, and real financial security requires real financial education. Why most people cannot do it. The problem many people encounter is that real financial education is counterintuitive. It does not make sense. Simply put, real financial education is on the other side of the coin from everything we've ever heard or learned about money. Many people who believe they are doing the right thing are actually doing the wrong thing. These are the same people who say to Tom and me, "You can't do that here." They can't do it because everything is opposite to what they were taught at home and in school. Everything is opposite. 1. Rich Dad's lesson number 1. The rich don't work for money. The people working for money are falling behind financially, and millions are falling into the gap. 2. Savers are losers. Why save money when the entire financial system is designed to print money? In banking terms, it is known as the fractional reserve system, which is why bankers love borrowers, not savers. 3. Debt makes the rich richer. The global financial system is built on debt. Money is only created when people borrow. People who know how to use debt as money to acquire assets are the richest people in the world. 4. Taxes make the rich richer. The tax system is an incentive program, encouraging people to partner with the government to do what the government wants and needs done. Governments do not need more employees in the E quadrant or self-employed in the S quadrant, so those people pay the highest taxes. Governments need more entrepreneurs in the B quadrant and professional investors in the I quadrant, which is why they pay the least in taxes. 5. Mistakes make the rich richer. God designed humans to learn by making mistakes. A baby cannot learn to walk without falling down, then getting up. That is why games or simulations are the best way to practice making mistakes, learning from your mistakes, then doing the real thing. 6. Crashes make the rich richer. The best time to get rich is when markets crash. When Walmart has a sale, the poor and middle class go bargain hunting. When financial markets crash, the rich go bargain hunting, while the poor and middle class go into hiding. 7. Your words become flesh. Employees always use these words. job security, steady paycheck, pay raise, medical plan, benefits, paid vacation, and overtime. Entrepreneurs do not use those words. Entrepreneurs must be smart enough to provide those words for their employees, and that requires real financial education. 8. Become a student of subjects schools do not think are important. The primary objective of schools is to teach students to be employees or self-employed professionals such as doctors and lawyers. For a person to become a successful entrepreneur, that person must become a student of subjects the school system does not think are important. Sales equals income. One subject is sales. The fact is that sales equals income. All entrepreneurs must be students of selling, always working to improve their selling skills. The primary reason 9 out of 10 new entrepreneurs fail is because they cannot sell enough to survive or grow. Donald Trump and I are the only two major financial educators who recommend individuals join a network marketing company. Network marketing teaches 4 essential skills required to be successful entrepreneurs. Those skills are sales, leadership, handling rejection, and delayed gratification. Handling rejection and delayed gratification are indicators of very high EQ, emotional intelligence. Employees do not need high EQ. Entrepreneurs do. In 1974, I left the Marine Corps and began the only real job I have ever had. Between 1974 and 1978, I worked for the Xerox Corporation, not for money, but to learn to sell. Once I became number one in sales, making a lot of money, I resigned to begin life as an entrepreneur. In high school, I failed the 10th grade and the 12th grade because I could not write and I made too many spelling errors. Today, many people say I cannot write. Although I remain a poor writer, I make millions as a best-selling author. My business is real estate. In 1973, I took my first of many real estate seminars. That initial 3-day course has made me a multimillionaire, over and over again. More importantly, that 3-day seminar was my ticket to financial freedom because today, my real business is real estate. Lifelong learning. The biggest problem with traditional education is that many students leave school hating school. For millions of people, their education ends when they leave school. For many people, traditional education kills their spirit of learning. This is a socioeconomic tragedy. If not for my rich dad, I would have been one of those people. Learning to sell was my entry into the B quadrant. It inspired me to become an entrepreneur, not for money, but for personal freedom. Taking a 3-day real estate course was my entry into the I quadrant. The love of learning. The love of learning and lifelong education are essential for success in the B and I quadrants. Today, Kim, my advisors, and I get together twice a year to study great books written by great teachers. The world is moving way too fast for us to stand still. As my real estate instructor told us on the last day of class, your education begins when you leave here. For most people, their education ends when they leave school. That is the primary reason why the gap between rich, poor, and middle class grows wider. Good grades are not indicators of success in life. In fact, the relentless pursuit of good grades can cause serious personal malfunctions later in life. There is an American medical doctor who wrote about the effect of competing for a good grade on his life. He went to medical school in Switzerland, where there was a large contingency of Americans. He said many of the American students went into shock when there were no grades, no awards, no dean's list, no rankings in the school. Students either passed or failed. He reported that some Americans just could not take it. Most became paranoid, thinking there was some kind of trick. A few went to another school. One that did compare and rank students, one against another. Those who stayed suddenly discovered a strange thing that they had never noticed at American universities. students, brilliant ones, sharing notes, and helping fellow students pass the course. This same doctor wrote that his son, then in medical school in the United States, reported acts of sabotage among students. He cited examples of a student tampering with the microscope of a fellow student, requiring that student to waste valuable minutes of test time adjusting his microscope. Parents are just as guilty when they demand that their little Johnny or Susie beat their own classmates in sports or academics. And then we Americans wonder why the gap between the rich and everyone else grows. The gap between rich and poor, smart and stupid, begins in our homes and is reinforced in our schools. That is why Rich Dad taught his son and me to solve money problems as a team. We all know that it's called cheating in school. Rich Dad emphasized that his bankers never ask him for his report card, nor do bankers care what school you graduated from. Rich Dad always said, "Your financial statement is your report card when you grow up and leave school." The primary reason for the growing gap between the rich and everyone else is because most college graduates do not cooperate. They solve their money problems on their own. They take financial advice from Wall Street, and most have no idea what a financial statement is. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Why the Rich Are Getting Richer by Robert T. Kiyosaki with Tom Wheelwright, performed by Scott Merriman. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.